as I was preparing the sermon for this Sunday, I sat there in the office and I go, oh, well, that sermon's not going to be preached this Sunday. This one is. So midweek I changed the sermon. So, the mountaintop. How many have ever been on top of a mountain? And the rest of you are seagoers. The rest of you like the ocean. Is that where you normally, I mean, and we got some hills around here, but you really can't call them mountains. But have you ever been up on top of a mountain looking out? You get the sense, this sense is, I don't want to leave. When we were in Israel, one of the first places we visited was the Valley of Elah. Now, if you remember the story, it was a famous story, a popular one. A little stinky shepherd boy comes up against John Traxler. If you were here for Bible school, you would know what I'm talking about. Goliath was 9 foot, 9 inches tall. And David was a stinky little shepherd boy, probably a young teenager. As they came to battle on the Valley of Elah, you'll notice that there were mountains on both sides of the valley, and the Philistines were on one side, the Hebrews, the Israelites were on the other side. Well, we were on top of one mountain range looking over the Valley of Elah. You didn't want to leave. There was just this sense of, this is absolutely the best place on earth right now. And you don't want to leave. That's a mountaintop experience. Is I'm here, I like it here, and I don't want to go anywhere. We had a few mountaintop experiences there. But the mountaintop is a special place that people want to be. How many have ever attended any sort of a Christian conference? How many have ever been to a Billy Graham crusade? Some of you, that's fantastic. I was forced to watch him on television. Mom said, Billy Graham's on, get in here. I said, aw. She said, get in here and sit down. But now looking back, oh, I'd have loved to have been there. There's a reason people went to the Billy Graham crusades. It wasn't just to add to the number. How many have ever been to Promise Keepers? Good, some of you. How about a ladies' conference where it's supposed to be just ladies? Good. How many Acquire the Fire? Or Day One was a big one. Some of you have been there. How many have ever been to Alive? And it was not raining. Living Word. Some of you have been to the Living Word. How many? Living Word is in Cambridge. I'm telling you, if you have never been there, go. Okay? It'll put you on the mountaintop. Sight and Sound in Pennsylvania, Lancaster. Very expensive. Very expensive. Tickets are $68 a piece. It's expensive, but it's a mountaintop experience. Why do people go to these conferences and these events? Why is it they go? It's that you can be refreshed there. It's that you go in with the expectation of being changed. Or going with the expectation that I want to get back to where I was with the Lord at one time. That's why people go to these things. It does it. It triggers something. And you look back and you go, I remember when. And you got to be there. Our desire is to be on the mountaintop because that's where God is. Our desire is I want to be in the presence of God. So we go to these events so that we can be drawn into the presence of God. Christians, they desire God's presence. Not just knowing that He's there. That's not good enough. We want to feel God. We want that awe to be there. That's what we want to experience. We love the fellowship. But as John writes, our fellowship with the Lord also means that we have fellowship with each other. That's the only way that this group of people would be together today is because of God. So we fellowship with God, we fellowship with each other. The reason that we went on the mountaintop is that It is heaven on earth. It's the closest that we can get to heaven while we're still here, is to be in the presence of God. That's what we want as Christians, is to be close, to be in His presence. And these conferences are one way of getting there. But tell me what happens a week after the conference? Life. And it's great to be at the conference, but honestly, you're not on the mountain anymore. Wouldn't it be great if you knew how to get to the top of the mountain? Wouldn't it be great if you could stay there? This morning, let's look at the mountaintop. Take your Bibles, go to the New Testament. Matter of fact, I'll make it easy on you for right now. And go to the book of Matthew. It's the first one in the New Testament. And there we find a mountaintop experience. It's like no other experience ever. And there have been some good mountaintop experiences. We were at the top of Mount Carmel in Israel. Something pretty awesome happened there. Is God showed His power. Matter of fact, that's where Elijah took care of the prophets of, and he just didn't take care of them. He chased them. But it showed God's power. Great things happen on the mountaintop. Here's probably the best. And it's for us. Matthew chapter 17. You're familiar with the story of what happened there. But do you realize that the Mount of Transfiguration is also for you? We may look at it as that was an event 2,000 years ago, but I'm telling you, our desire is to get on the mountaintop, and our desire is to stay when we get there. This is for us 2,000 years later. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. 6 days later, isn't that great? 6 days later, something must have happened 6 days earlier. If you just take a glance over to around Matthew chapter 16, you find out something that was pretty spectacular. And then 6 days later, they end up on the Mount of Transfiguration. But 6 days earlier, Peter was given something awesome by God. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter come up, take that back. Peter didn't come up with it. God did. But Peter was the receiver. "Who do people say that I am, Simon Peter?" And Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah." 6 days later, we find Peter on the top of the mount. Verse 1, 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John. And He led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Okay, now get this. Who went up on top of the mountain? Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Where were the other disciples? They're not on the mountain. They're down at the bottom. Okay? Four went up on the mountain. Okay? Took them up by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. Who was? Jesus was transfigured before them. And His face shone like the sun. And His garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. Just a refresher. How many went up the mountain? How many were on the mountain? How many went down the mountain? And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Peter said to Jesus, this kills me. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." No kidding. "If You wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." What Jesus is telling these disciples is, do not tell anyone what you have seen or what you have experienced until I am resurrected. That's what it says, correct? And his disciples ask him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he answered and said to them, "Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." He's giving them an insight here. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. And the story stops for now. Can you imagine this view on top the mountain? Now, there was no cable car that took them to the top. At Masada, where there was a slaughter, there's a really big, nice cable car that takes you. You don't have to walk. By the way, the trail is 5 miles to get from the floor to the top of Masada. I'm no dummy. I rode up. I walked down. These guys walked up and they walked back down to a high mountain. Can you imagine what this event was like for Peter, James, and John? Jesus leaves the other disciples at the bottom and he takes these three. These are the closest ones. And he takes them up on top this mountain. Now, I'm wondering what the disciples thought on the way up. Is he going to chew us out for something? Is this going to be a special teaching time? They had no idea what was coming. You see, Peter is the one who just proclaimed, "You are the Son of the living God." Four of them walk up. Now in Scripture, Mark and Luke also record this event. It's the same identical event. They vary a little bit in what they write down as what's important to them. Well, wait a minute, that would mean that there's three different stories and God's not consistent. Oh, God is consistent. If I ask you to write about a story or an event that happened in this church, there would not be one story that was identical with another one. Something would pop off the page of someone did something and you're going to highlight that. Well, Luke and Mark are no different. They highlight different things. But it's the same identical story. Can you imagine when these disciples are on top of the mountain, what they now experience? First, in front of them, Jesus is changed and his face becomes bright, right in front of them. Now, that may sound quite familiar, that someone's face would be glowing. Matter of fact, maybe there might be one there that would be evidence that had happened before. You remember the children of Israel? As they leave Egypt, they're out in the wilderness, and God pulls Moses up on top of the mountain. He writes on the tablets. Moses heads back down the mountain, but as he's heading back down, he hears a party. There the Israelites are worshiping a golden calf. Moses gets cranked at what has happened and throws the tablets down and they bust to pieces. He's ticked, by the way. That wasn't a real good meal for them. God calls Moses back up on the mountain a second time. And he talks with him. He's in his presence. Moses comes down the mountain and the people do what? Put something over your face. What had happened to Moses is he was in the presence of Shekinah glory. He was in the presence of God. Now look what happens to Jesus. The first thing that happens is Shekinah glory. God happened. And the face of Jesus starts to get so bright. Not only did his face change, but the garments that he was wearing started to change. You see, unless you've been to the desert and you've been out in just that area, it's nothing but dirt and rocks. That's all that's there. But yet, can you imagine what the robes would have looked like from all this walking? And all of a sudden, the robes started to even change to bright white. And then there's a cloud. I find a cloud interesting. By the way, the voice comes out of the cloud. But do you remember the children of Israel? As they made their way to the Mount Sinai and Moses started up, there was a cloud. And God was in that cloud. As the children of Israel traveled, it was fire by night. It was a pillar of cloud during the daytime. When the tabernacle was completed, the cloud completely overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant. The cloud comes down on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, and God is there. He has completely overshadowed the whole situation. The four went up, now there's six of them. And then there is this odd little tidbit that Luke gives us. You can read that story later. It says that the disciples were sleepy. Now, come on. Here is one of the most spectacular things that ever happened to these three, and they're sleepy? Yeah, they're sleepy. Matter of fact, it says that they woke up. Look at Luke. There seems to me to be another time when there was something very fantastic taking place, and Jesus had to come back to him and said, oh, you haven't fallen asleep, have you, in the garden? So the disciples roused themselves up, and they see Moses and Elijah and the Son of the living God. The response by Peter seems to be a little lackluster. Peter said to Jesus in verse 4, Matthew 17, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now that seems to be a little bit down to me. If you're now seeing Jesus in Shekinah glory, and there's Moses, which no one told them it was Moses, and Elijah, no one said, hey, let me introduce myself. They knew who they were. And you're standing there going, oh, Lord, it's great to be here. It's great to be in church. Well, it's just great to be here. How about, Lord, how about if I get in my backpack and get my Coleman pup tent out and let me pitch a tent for each of you guys? What was Peter really saying at this point? Now think about it. Let me build a tabernacle for you and Moses and Elijah. What Moses was saying is, let's live here. I'm okay with us just staying right here. Let's not go back down. You see, Peter was starting to experience the mountaintop experience, and he didn't want it to stop. He wanted to stay there. We experienced the mountaintop. And a week later, well, that was great. Now we're back down in earth. Lord, it's good for us to be here. But then this story turns the corner. Something happened in this story. To us, it seems like just a spectacular presence of God. To Peter, it was, it's good to be here. Look at verse 5 in Matthew 17. While he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Verse 6, when the disciples heard this, They fell face down to the ground and were terrified. What has just happened is they have seen Jesus changed. They have seen Moses and Elijah, and Peter says, it's good to be here. But when they heard the voice of God, they fell face down and were terrified. Actually seeing the change take place didn't do a whole lot for him. Oh, it's good to be here. But when they heard God speak, down they went. Now the whole thing, this whole experience has completely changed. It's great to be on that mountaintop. And Peter, James, and John experienced it. And they saw great things. But what would they ever remember about the mountaintop was that God spoke. It's good to be here. But when God said, this is my beloved son, down they went. That's what they're going to remember on the mountaintop. Jesus said, tell no one of this until, he doesn't specifically say it, but we know what he's talking about. Don't tell anybody about this until I'm resurrected. Wonder what Jesus looked like after he was resurrected. I'm just curious. Because there must have been something different. Mary didn't know who he was. There must have been something. Jesus says, don't tell anybody what has happened here until I raise from the dead. So we've been up on the mountaintop with Jesus. But then there's an opportunity for us. Because that opportunity was presented to Peter. Remember, he's the one so far that has had the last 6 days' attention. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We might say that Peter wasn't the brightest bulb in the pack, but Peter did exactly as Jesus told him. Think about this. If Jesus said, don't tell anyone about this until I'm raised from the dead, what is Jesus really expecting from these disciples? That when he was raised from the dead, they would be telling people. He wouldn't even have mentioned it, but he does. For 2 Peter chapter 1, go to verse 16. Who were the three disciples that were on the mountain? Peter, James, and John. Okay, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Where were they eyewitnesses? On the mountaintop. Verse 17, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance, made from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Let me ask you a real dumb question. After Peter, when Peter's writing this second letter, what does he remember about the Mount experience? God speaking. He doesn't say, he mentions the majestic glory, but that's involving God who says. What does Peter remember about the mountaintop? God spoke to us. Now, sight is fabulous. Sight is awesome, wouldn't you agree? But Jesus also said in John chapter 20, verse 29, because you have seen me. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by... What does Peter highlight in his telling people about the mountaintop was God spoke there. That's what he remembers. He remembers that God spoke. Moses is there. Who could forget Moses? Yeah, but you know what? God spoke there. Well, Elijah was there. You remember Elijah. Yeah, but God spoke. Don't forget that God spoke there. That's what's of utmost importance, is God spoke on that mountaintop. It wasn't just glorious that he spoke. He said it was majestic glory. It was beyond glory. We couldn't fathom how much glory was there. God spoke there. That's how awesome it was. God spoke on that mountain. And our desire is to get up there and be in the presence of God so that we can hear him. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The disciples heard God speak. It was what Peter remembered about the mountaintop. 2,000 years later, how do you get on top the mountain? By hearing God speak. It's what Peter remembers. Out of everything that took place, God spoke. If you're wanting up on top of the mountain, if you want to be in the presence of God, what's the most important thing in your life? Is to hear God speak. By the way, does God speak? Here's a whole book on what God has said. How do you get on top of the mountain, folks? Read it. Because God is speaking in it. Oh, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I want to hear God speak. Here it is. But yet what we do, no, this is a different church. You're different Christians. You don't do this. You don't leave here and go home and place your Bible on the nightstand and pick it up there next Sunday morning, do you? You see, if you went on the mountaintop, here's your ticket. It's how you get on top of the mountain. What Peter remembers is God speaking. Surely we wouldn't take God's speaking, take it home, and leave it on the table and pick it up next week. If that's the case, the best you're ever going to get is being on the mountaintop once a week. And you have the opportunity to get up on that mountaintop every single day. It's a matter of God speaking. Has anyone ever been on a trip and then they come back and show you slides? Now that's an old term for old people. Now we do whatever we do. Or let me rephrase that. Becky does whatever she does. I don't. When we come back from Israel, what we did was we had, we had 500 and some, but we showed pictures on a Sunday evening. And for a little tiny bit, you got to go to Israel. Just a little tiny bit. You didn't get to experience the air or the dirt or anything there. You got to see pictures. Is that good enough for you? It's good enough to know somebody who's been up on the mountain. And I'm really happy that when you got up there, you took pictures so I can see what it was like. No one ever wants to do that. Not with Jesus. You want to be there. You don't want to look at somebody else's slides, do you? You want to experience. You know, as we started this morning, I said, everybody wants to get up on top of the mountain. How do we get there? I'm telling you how to get there. Here's God speaking. That's how you get there. If you're willing to go home and put this on the shelf, at best, you're going to be there once a week in the morning on Sunday. But wouldn't you want to be in the presence of God all the time? There's one more tiny little bit to the story. Matthew chapter 17. Oh, if I could only get on the mountaintop and stay there. Wouldn't you agree that that would have to be the best place on earth? Is to get up on that mountain and get to live always in the presence of God. Amen. That would be spectacular. I've told you how to get up there. Matthew chapter 17. Let's go to the rest of the story. Matthew 17, go to verse 14, because we stopped at 13. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. That is the rest of the story. Lord, it is good for us to be here. And Jesus said, "Yes, it is." But the rest of the story is, you can't stay here. They didn't live up there. They came back down. Oh, that's sad. Because once I'm on that mountain, I don't ever want to leave the presence of God. Who is at the bottom of the mountain with Jesus? The disciples? Did they left his presence? No. But they don't get to live on top of the mountain because there is ministry to accomplish. Jesus came back down from that experience and instantly has to face his ministry. How do I get up on top of the mountain? Right here. But you don't get to live there. You have ministry to do. You have to come back down off that mountain to accomplish what God has set in place for you. Jesus did it. You didn't get to live there. It's great to be on the mountain, but at some point you got to come down. Because God's got stuff for you to do. He's got people for you to talk to. How do I get on the mountain? Listen to God speak. But you don't get to stay there. Because God's got stuff for you to do. I'm not sure I put that plain enough. It's great for you to live in the presence of God. But there's work to be done. And you got to do it. Amen. Are you willing to go on top of the mountain? I told you how to get there. Are you willing to go up? Yep. Are you ready to come down? Well, God's ready for you to come down. He's got stuff for you to do. So go up on the mountain a lot. But don't forget, He's got stuff for you to do. Amen. Would you like to be on the mountaintop this week? I usually don't challenge you like this, but hey, it's Sunday. Lord, it's good for us to be here. But when God spoke, they fell and trembled at the presence of God. Peter, years later, says, "I remember that God spoke." God's word is how you get to the mountaintop. So I'm going to challenge you this week. And for those who are ready and willing, I am going to make a proclamation. Your week is going to be different than any other week you've experienced. Because you're going to spend most of the time on the mountaintop. If that's how I get there, then to get up there, I got to be in that. I am asking, would you read starting tomorrow? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is a 6-day commitment. You would read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Those three chapters every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If that gets me to the mountaintop, are you willing to go? By the way, 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew has a title. It's a sermon on the mount. I am willing to proclaim your life will be different when you come in next Sunday. How many are willing and telling me, yes, I will do that. I'm telling you, your life will be different. I'm going to ask you next Sunday. Thank you.